This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's week 29 of 2020, and I don't have a title. I'm working on the title because this week is a special week. I think the working title is going to be called Home Theater Chat. And this week's Home Theater Chat, I'm sitting down with Ara Dedarian of the HT Guys. How you doing, Ara?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I can't express enough how accepting you have been. How great you were. I emailed you and it was like 5 minutes. I was like, he got back to me that fast. And this was a few weeks ago. And, I sent you a link. I sent you one of my, 5-star reviews. And in that review, I can't remember the guy's name or the title of it, but they said the home theater community. And it really is a home theater community. It's like talking with you, talking with the AV Rant guys. It is kind of what I'm trying to do here. You know, get into the theaters. You guys do at HT Guys do a great job at helping us get our theaters right. And let's sit down in the theater and have a chat. And judging by our conversation before we started recording, I think we're going to have no problem chatting.
Yeah, that will be no problem. Yeah, and it's a great idea. You know what? Because in this, what do we love doing when we have people over to our house? First thing we do is sit them down and goes, watch this, listen to this, and you want to demo your equipment, right? So I think it's a great concept to do, and having a home theater chat on your show here is fantastic. Even though we're on opposite sides of the country, we are able to sit down and do that. Yeah, literally. I'm on the West Coast, you're on the East Coast. So
yep.
It's really cool that we're able to do that.
Yeah. So let's get into a little bit of your background, how you got into home theater. Everybody has different ways of coming at this. How did you start into home theater?
So Braden, my partner on the podcast, the HGTV and Home Theater podcast, Braden Russell and I both worked for Sony Pictures, and we were doing development of equipment for the studios. It's kind of funny. The sound department at Sony Pictures wanted a specific type of equipment, and Sony management in Japan said they wouldn't build it because there was just no – it wasn't a market. Sony, you think about, they sold more Blu-ray players in a month than what the total market would have been for the products that we were working on, which was a home an actual cinema processor and a disc audio recorder, a disc-based audio dubber is what we called it. We called it the datter. Anyway, so the sound department was rejected, and the head of the sound department said, you know what, I'm just going to build it myself. So he recruited my boss at the time. I don't know where they knew each other. And then my boss recruited our team, and we started developing these products. And that's actually when the love of this hit me and Braden, because we'd go up to the studio all the time in these really cool theaters where they would do the mixing and the dubbing. And we'd sit there and listen and watch movies as they were being made. And we started then buying Sony gear because we got almost 50% off. Oh. And I had the first home theater back in, must have been like 95 or 96. And it was nothing to, you know, brag about, but that's when it all started. And Braden and I, the group that we work for, ADSG, Advanced Digital Systems Group, won an Academy Award for technical achievement on our DADR 1000.
So wait a minute, you have an Academy Award?
No, the group does. It's one of those ones that they do.
But you're part of a group that has an Academy Award.
Yes,
so
for sure.
Let me say that again. So you have an Academy Award.
Well, as a collective, yes.
Yes.
I do not have a trophy. The trophy went to the sound department, and it was on display in the sound department. But
That's awesome. That's awesome. I've been in this since the late 80s, and I am no expert by any stretch of the imagination other than I can say I'm an expert at sitting down and enjoying the content. It's like I just sit and watch.
That's the best way, because if you necessarily know the technical stuff, it kind of ruins it for you, because now you can be a little more critical, and then sometimes you're just never satisfied. And it took us a while to realize that we were being too critical and too technical, and then we started getting criticism because we were not as critical and technical. But I don't care. I enjoy it more this way, where I just I don't know if you listen to my show very frequently, but there was a music test to test your music IQ.
Yep.
And we talked about it. I failed miserably. And it was not what music you like. It's like, tell me which note was higher and blah, blah, blah. So it's the technical aspects of music. I failed, but I still love music, and I still have a really nice equipment, which enhances the music experience and the home theater experience. But I am not a musician. That's what I found out. I already knew that, but that's
right.
What officially we've learned.
Yeah, I'm the same way. My wife, she was in orchestra. She played the violin. She knows how an orchestra is set up. I'll actually call her down to my theater to explain to me, is this set up right? If I'm watching something, I'm like, because I, years and years ago, we were watching something in the theater, and she was saying, I think it was a Star Wars episode, like one of the movies. And the way the orchestra was set up in the soundtrack or in the score, she's like, everything's where it's supposed to be. And you're watching the movie, and she's recognizing that the horns are in the right part of the room and things
are
going. Yeah. And I was like, I never even thought of that. I'm just sitting there going, oh, Star Wars.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's like the more you start to nitpick and get into, like, well, that's not correct, instead of just letting the experience wash over you, I think it's that wash that's what I enjoy, and that's why there's a lot of movies I'll be like, that's really, really, I love that movie.
Yeah.
And people be like, oh, this is so bad, and blah, and the acting is bad. I'm like, really? You got into the acting on a movie about aliens? I'm like, who cares? It's like, I'm like, I had a blast with it. And that's part of, I think, everything that we do and why I wanted to do a podcast like this, in that I was, you know, listening to you guys, listening to AV Rant, and saying, like, nobody talks about the theaters, like the movies in the theater. It's like, everybody, I haven't heard one yet. So I wanted to try and get one, and then just the outpouring of the fans from you guys. I'm getting people from you guys saying, oh, I was listening to Ara, and it's like, I think they heard about you or this and that. And I'm like, I don't think they've heard about, this was a little while ago. You guys hadn't heard of me yet. There's so many people, and it's a lot of fun to listen to getting all the comments. I can't express enough how much this has really taken off for me. It's beyond my wildest dreams. Even just sitting here talking to you, you're like, oh, hey, look at this.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the interaction with listeners. It's a lot of fun. I've gotten to the point now where even some of them will ask me for some help on the phone. It's not just like through an email. A couple of them, I said,
I heard you put that out last week.
Yeah, I don't want to necessarily sit here and type for an hour. We could have a 5-minute call, and it'll be a lot easier. So I started doing that. And if someone's got a really complex kind of question, I'm good, because I'm not working. So this is what I do all day.
Oh, geez, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Why don't you give your information then? Let people you don't have to give your phone number.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, your podcast and everything.
You can find our podcast. Our website is htguys, like hometheaterguys.com. And we're available on almost any podcast app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, of course, the Google Play Store and iTunes. So we're available there. You can sign up on any of those and listen. We put out a show every week. It comes out Friday morning. Used to be for a lot of people on their Friday drive to work, but now they're not driving as much. And I don't know about you, but we've noticed some of our listener numbers have gone down just because people are doing other things.
My numbers have only grown because I
started
you're in
the growth
at zero.
Stage. Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of worked out really well for me. It's like I haven't noticed a drop because I was already down.
Yeah,
and,
very good.
And talking to you guys and stuff, it's only been getting me bigger numbers, and I really appreciate all that. But yeah, I listen to you guys every Friday. That's why I started putting mine out Friday afternoons for the drive home. I thought it would be a good idea to place that one there, plus my other podcast that I do drops on Thursdays and Mondays, so I needed a different day.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, I think AV Rant also does theirs on Friday as well. So there's a lot of home theater stuff coming out on Fridays, which is good.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean, I the comments I get over the weekend are a blast. It's like, yeah. I'll just be sitting there, I'll be like, oh, another comment. Oh, people comment. So it's a lot of fun. Speaking of comments, let's go to Francis Amoko on Twitter. And he says he was listening to you guys. He said, Brightside HT, I'm listening to the @HT Guys podcast. I thought you got to mention something about a collaboration in the works. Congrats, man. You are taking off. Bring up his woodwork hobby and we might have another 3-hour podcast. So I know you're in big into woodworking. Do you make your own speakers?
Yeah. So it started out, I wanted to make my own speakers and it was very rudimentary at the time with some plywood. And then, I started doing a little more fancy stuff with woodworking and then the speakers got a little better, the enclosure part of it. And then I ended up making bigger cutting boards and I made it like a desk for my daughter. Yeah. So woodworking is now gone beyond speakers, but that's what started it. And I think I started this in my fifties that I started doing woodworking. My mom came over one day and she looked at some of the stuff I made. Like I made a bar cart because I also collect bourbons and whiskeys. So I made this bar cart that, the top and bottom shelf was made out of the top of a barrel, of a bourbon barrel. And she says, where did you get this skill? I said, what skill? This stuff's all like very rudimentary.
Right.
But, do another shout out to Mark Spagnolo, the Wood Whisperer. He also listens to my podcast and he's offered me some help too. And at one point I was supposed to go out to his shop for this speakers that I'm working on very slowly. He was going to help me really fine comb on it, or you know, fine touch, and that just hasn't happened because of COVID. But I'm hoping to get out there, and so I use like CSS Audio Components. They've got these really cool kits, and I built one pair that just sound phenomenal. And people who listen to it can't believe I get the sound out of these speakers. So I'm going to make a bigger one on this build if I ever time to go do it. You figure now that I'm not working, I'd have all kinds of time, but I'm just not finding the time anymore.
Yep. You get other things to do.
Yeah.
I love working with wood myself. I live kind of in the woods out here in Massachusetts, and I took some trees and made some benches out of trees, gave one to my father for Father's Day, cutting it with just using a chainsaw to carve and everything. But this past week, I did a cake. I also do cake designs. I did a cake for a graduation and it was a book, but the thing turned out to be, it was four cakes that I turned into, made it look like a book, and it was 9 by 18, I think, or something, whatever it was. It was four big cakes and I'm like, I don't have a platter for that. So I went down to the Home Depot, grabbed some hobby wood, and I made this platter with handles and everything so I could carry this thing, and I bring it over to the person's house, and they're like, the mom was almost in tears when she saw the cake. She's like, I can't believe you did this. And then I'm like, and then that her husband, my buddy, he's like, oh, that's a nice platter. I was like, yeah, I made that. I had to make that while the cake was cooling. He's like, you made that? I was like, yeah. And then we looked at it. I put feet on it, recessed the screws into it and everything, made it all nice.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm like,
yeah. Hey, you need something and they don't have it. You just make it.
Yeah, that's true. My thing, mostly I work with old reclaimed barn wood.
Yeah.
So some of these speakers, the wood is 150 years old.
Oh.
And the trees would have been standing at the time of the U.S. Revolution. It's just kind of neat when you think about it. Then when I'm like planing the wood and putting it all together in the speaker box, thinking, I wonder what the guy was thinking when he was nailing this on the barn that it, you know, when they were building it, it was like, ah, a couple more hours till quitting time. Had no idea that they'd ever find their way into California. And, you know, obviously he's long gone and maybe even his grandkids are long gone. But here I'm looking over at them right now. They're just sitting there waiting to, you know, make beautiful music.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even know what a speaker was.
Yeah, exactly. Good, very good point. Maybe he didn't know. Wait a minute. 1850? California was around in 1850. The barn that these came out of was built in 1850s.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Hey, different hobby. That's how my theater is basically made by me.
And yeah.
It's like, I could never afford to have what I have if I didn't build it myself.
So, and that's a very cool aspect of our hobby is, one, if you build a theater, that's yours, or if you just kind of assemble the stuff yourself, meaning you buy the components, you don't have a professional come in and do it. It's also good if you have a professional, if you've got that kind of money, but there's a sense of pride when you put it together and it sounds just right. And then you want to show it off to your friends. I've had many people over here where not so much my friends' wives, but the husbands always want to come up and take a listen. And I give them the basic demo of something really low frequency and go listen to this. And I'll get somebody be yelling from downstairs, turn that subwoofer down. But it's kind of like, it's a source of pride for us that we want to show our friends how cool our home theaters are.
Exactly. So I had a buddy that was into podcasting, and I used him as a sounding board when I was starting this one. So I pitched him my idea, and he's not into home theater at all. And he's like, so basically you're just going to sit there and talk about scenes in a movie and like brag about your theater? And I was like, well, kind of. Yeah. He goes, I don't see a lot of legs there. Like, how is that going to last? I go, you don't understand it. It's like, there's people like me that's all we want to do is like, you know, somebody come, we're like that 5-year old with the new toy. Every time somebody comes over the house, you're just waiting going, you know, if somebody ever asked you, so what's new in your theater? Well, you shouldn't have said that because here we go. Let's go.
Yeah.
The fun that we have building these, and to your point of like, we like it when it sounds just right. What we also find is that, and why your podcast is so successful, is nothing is ever just right, because we're always looking for the next upgrade. We're always looking for, I know it sounds good now. Once you get it there, you're like, all right, what's the next thing?
Yeah, that's true. Fortunately for me right now, I am at a steady state, partially because I'm not working. So my argument to go buy new equipment doesn't really work that well with my wife. So she's like, okay, go get a job. And then, go, if you want that new receiver or amplifier, you're go get it. But now, so I've had to cut back a little, but we do also talk about home automation and that kind of stuff. And right. That's a little bit cheaper, so I can get away with buying new home automation products.
I've got Hue Lighting in my theater. I'm not really big into home automation, but listening to you, I'm really starting to get the bug.
Yeah, it's an expensive bug too.
It is. It's like the doorbell light,
the Ring
cameras.
Doorbell. Yeah.
Yeah, Ring doorbell. You're talking about the light. My wife would like cameras on the outside of the house.
Yeah,
for security.
I've
reasons.
Done that. The thing I'm going to be working on shortly is because I have Hue lights, and they have an outdoor outdoor line of Hue lights. Yep. So I had an electrician's over here. I needed to add a new circuit for my daughter's room because we were using these portable air conditioners, and the two daughters' rooms are next to each other, and when they both turned on, it would trip the circuit breaker. So we added a separate circuit for that room. And as long as the guy was out here, I had him put plugs around the outside of the house, and so I'm going to now put in these Hue lights. That is probably going to be happening here in the next few weeks. But I do have the lights finally, so it's just a matter of me getting out there and doing it.
Yeah, it's a whole other level when you can add that stuff to your house. And I think it's an extra. It's not a necessity.
Yes, oh, 100% agree.
You know, and it's fun to tool with. And I hear you mention all the time, like, if you're not really a person that likes to tinker and stuff, maybe this isn't for you, because sometimes they do fail and it can be frustrating. That's probably why I haven't incorporated it into the house, because then I'd be getting calls like, we're in the dark here.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is when they fail, the switches themselves work. Just maybe the automation didn't fire. So if the light didn't turn on, you can walk up to the switch and turn it on. But every now and then I realize I'm resetting something. And I was just thinking, if this was ever sold to somebody as it's the panacea, you don't have to worry about it, that's wrong, because sometimes the switch will just go offline and you don't know why. Because I think personally, because there's so many Wi-Fi products in your house and in your neighborhood now. If you look at where I live, I can pick at least see 6 or 7 different Wi-Fi SSIDs, which means that they're all fighting for that channel, and you have a lot of equipment on there. So sometimes things get a little bit noisy and things don't work the way they're supposed to.
Yep, that's kind of the way the world's going.
Yeah.
So our subject for today when I contacted you, I pitched you my podcast, and you pitched me a great idea. Why don't you explain to everybody? And how did you come up? What made you think of this? Because honestly, what did we talk like a month ago? And it's very pertinent to what's going on today with Tenet and everything. So
yeah, well, you said, you know, I want, if you could give me some ideas of some, scenes in movies that you use to demo your equipment. And I said, you know what? I'd rather talk about streaming content because I've been watching a lot of streaming. And what I'm talking about is original streaming stuff, not movies that are now streaming. Basically Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon, whatever is, whatever's yep. available. Because I am saying nowadays that this content is as good as movies. And because I don't even go to movie theaters anymore. I just, I've stopped a long time ago, and I'm at the point now where I'm not even buying discs or, online, you know, sales of content because I don't find the movies that compelling. The occasional blockbuster I'll buy, but I find way more compelling stuff streaming. And if you think about what a movie is, it's about 2 to 2.5 hours, depending on if it's a blockbuster or not movie. Well, if you were to watch Jack Ryan, I think it's 8 episodes, each one about 45 minutes. That's like you've watched 3 movies. And so right. you could watch them back to back as if it was a movie. And you have a lot of great content there. So I said, let's find some scenes in streaming content that we would like to use to demonstrate our systems.
Yeah. You had even mentioned, like, if I was going to counter your point, like, if I don't agree with you, I'm like, yeah. I agree with you 100%. I'm like, and so... streaming has become so good because they're really competing with you at the time getting up and leaving and going to the theaters. They're trying to get you to watch their shows. And my favorite is, well, for content anyways, the quality of content, I should say, is Netflix. I think that they kind of led the way for the home theater fan and everybody else is kind of following suit. And trying to get everything that the home theater fan is looking for. And Netflix, I want my favorite example we'll talk about when we get into some of the scenes. Yes, streaming content is better now than it's ever been. It's only getting better. And I actually had a question for you. Do you think it's going to be possible soon that we will have the opportunity to download instead of streaming? And what I mean by that is, so streaming means you get it and it's coming in as you're watching it. Okay. So that sets a limitation to the quality they can send you. But if you were to download a movie a la Kaleidoscape, you would be able to get everything that you can get off a 4K disc. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. And
it would take you probably a day to download it though.
Well, depending on your bandwidth, but I think you're right. talking about people who've got slow bandwidth and where streaming doesn't work for them. I think you can do that now, but it's kind of like not haphazard. You kind of got to do an end run around the system. You can download it to a tablet or a phone, and then right. you can cast it to the, to your player. And I don't know what the quality level on that is. Are you downloading? Do they reduce the quality because it's going to a tablet? Because you can say, I want HD or I'll take the right. SD, but how good is their HD? I like where you're going with this. That would be fantastic. Cause pretty much every set-top box has storage. Mm-hmm. So I would love to be able to say, you know what? Download this or start the streaming, start buffering. Early. So you know you're going to go watch that tonight. Maybe it starts buffering at noon. So you got 3/4 of the movie available to you at 6 p.m. and then the rest of it will stream in. But I like that. I think that is going to eventually happen. Or if they get some of these satellites up that are supposed to provide really high speed bandwidth no matter where you are on Earth, it may not 5G. Be as necessary. Right. It may not be as necessary. For me, I don't, where I live, and I know I live in an area that's got really good bandwidth, I don't need it because I can stream, you know, 20 megabits per second movies and it'll
right.
not be a problem. But if you are living out in the rural areas, yeah, it will be an issue. So that may be why they don't do it. The population just isn't there to support them to do it.
True. Yeah. I read an article this years ago and it was about streaming. and how the world was going to be going towards the streaming, not even beyond what we're at right now. And the idea was, the limitations at the time were, what if everybody started streaming? The bandwidth in your neighborhood gets sucked dry. Everything, you know, everything gets slowed down dramatically. And they're like, how do you compensate for that? And one of the ideas, and it's along the lines of like that kaleidoscope idea, is that say, CBS, for instance, they know what shows are coming out, right? They recorded those months ago. And then when you get that week's shows, they're all there unless it's a live program. But what if on a Sunday night, they just downloaded the entire week's content, flagged to only come out at, on your streaming service at the appropriate time that it's supposed to air? So then, even if you lost your internet during the week, you still have your week's worth of shows there. And that would limit the bandwidth during a time when nobody's using it. And it was just a creative way for everybody to be able to get the content without sucking on the bandwidth so bad. And I thought that was an interesting idea. They're not using it yet, obviously. And it was just a spitballing solution.
Yeah, that is a good idea. They would have to work with all the set-top box manufacturers and make sure that they had the infrastructure in place. And I think that is very doable. I know Netflix does something kind of like that, where they have servers at the head ends of the cable companies. So that they don't have to stream everything from their servers. So they're distributing their servers and to the major cable companies. And that way it's not using as much of the bandwidth across the whole country, just, you know, from the local cable company. So that's one way around it. And, I know Apple's got a huge server farm that, they've distributed a lot of this stuff to. I think you are right that as we stream more, it is going to be a burden. And we talked about it recently. There's a new compression scheme coming out. Yep. And I think it's 8.H.26. It's 265 now, but 6.6 is what's coming next. And that's a few years away. So that's what will have to happen, too. We'll have to have better compression and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. When I read this, it was a few years ago, and they were going off of the compression that they had then, which has been improved since then. But they already video games already kind of do that. They'll release a game and they'll tell you, I remember I got the latest Spider-Man on PS4 and your system actually started downloading it way ahead of time. And then it was flagged at midnight on whatever date it was in September. They said, you can start playing at midnight, but your system already had the game.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea is out there and it's being utilized. But I think for home theater fans, this is a way we would be able to get that kaleidoscope opportunity, that quality of that 4K disc with the Atmos, uncompressed Atmos sound, and be able to get that in the home without a disc. And it would take a download, because streaming for most people probably wouldn't be possible. You'd have to download that and then you would have it. And even if they put a limitation on it, you watch it for a little while or what, the possibilities are endless when you get to a download point, because the quality, it shouldn't be an issue because it's all digital.
Well, I agree and hope that happens. It's just they need to get a few people on board. I think a company like Netflix could do it because they create the content as well. So it's easy for them to do it. They have an app on all these different platforms, and they can look at the platform and see how much space they have and then decide, you know what, we can do this on a limited basis. So you can pick one movie that you want, because, you know, maybe they don't have that much storage. You have enough for one movie or two movies, and you can pick which ones you want. And if you live in an area that is got a little rule, in a rural area that's got slow bandwidth, you can start, you know, downloading it on Tuesday so that it's available for you on the weekend or whatever it takes. So
exactly.
Yeah. Look for Netflix. They're pretty much a leader. I mean, I hate sitting here and just saying how great Netflix is, but they're actually a leader in a lot of this stuff.
Well, they've been at it the longest for, you know, and they've learned a lot, and we'll get it. So you want to just start getting into some content here?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Then you go first.
Okay. And so the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to start small and work my way up to something that's really going to exercise your system. So we're going to start off very basic in terms of what your system's capable of doing, but light years ahead of what we were doing a few years ago. Jack Ryan, second season, and I believe it's the last episode for the second season. It's when they went into the presidential palace to rescue Jack Ryan's friend. And to be honest with you, this also could be any episode of SEAL Team, which is on CBS. Same sort of thing is going to apply here. So it's an assault. They have guns. There's bullets flying over your head. There's some explosions. You can hear a crowd in the background. It's got a lot of action, but it just shows you what's capable of streaming without being way over the top. There's no Atmos here. Definitely a 5.1 system is all you need on this one, but I think it's a really good introduction into a scene that has a lot of really cool aspects for your home theater.
Great. I'm really interested in checking that one out because, and I will jump right to that because I didn't do Jack Ryan. I haven't watched that series yet because it's supposed to, season one was supposed to be in Atmos, and it is. Mm-hmm. But it was so difficult to get it in Atmos that I got so frustrated with it. I bought so many Fire Sticks. I tried so many workarounds to get that to play in Atmos that I didn't want to start watching it and not have it in Atmos. So I did that home theater snob thing where it's like, oh, I got to see it in the best possible way.
Well, this one, it didn't say Atmos on there. So if it was in Atmos, it was because my system, okay, I wouldn't let that ruin it. I would go back and watch it from season one, work your way up, because on my number one is an Atmos title, and I have some thoughts on Atmos for that.
Okay. All right. I will start off small as well. So have you seen the show The Grand Tour?
Yes, I love Grand Tour. So that's why I've seen all the seasons, and I want to know what you think is so cool about this episode.
So season three, episode one, and it's it's called the Motown Funk is the name of the episode.
Oh, is that the one where they do a drag race right in the middle of Detroit?
In Detroit.
Yeah.
So the crew, they all, if you haven't seen this, it's a car show. It's the three British guys from, what was the name of the show? Top Gear, right. And the one of the things that they prefaced on this episode was, this is going to be a noise test. The entire episode, because all the cars they picked a Mustang RTR, a Dodge Challenger Demon, and the Camaro Exorcist. So these are all hyped out cars. And in this one particular scene, it's at 18 minutes and 31 seconds. It plays for about 6 minutes long, and they go into a theater. It used to be a theater, and the building next to it bought it out to turn it into a parking garage. So it was a theater built on Henry Ford's first workshop. I don't know if you remember this episode, but they went in there with these cars and did donuts.
Oh, I absolutely remember it. Yes, yes. It was all dilapidated. The building, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they made them put on hard hats because they were afraid the cars were going to make the building fall down. So here's the interesting thing is that's supposed to be the loudest part of the episode, because you would think the cars, and they have a decibel meter right there. They're checking it. And the Exorcist won at 128 decibels in there, and the Mustang was second at 125. The Demon only came in at a paltry 118. But the introduction at 5 minutes and 50 seconds, when they introduce these cars, it actually blows that out of the water, because the pans that they do all through any episode of the Grand Tour is awesome in your theater, because the cars, they overemphasize. It's almost like they skipped the center channel. And because they're talking through that, and then they'll have the car, pan from the left to the right, and you get the roar go right across your room. And if you're sitting in your theater at reference level, things are vibrating. You can feel it. And it's a lot of fun to watch in there. And I've watched this show going back to, I forgot the name of it again.
Top Gear?
Top Gear. I keep forgetting that.
That's okay.
All the way back to Top Gear. My son and I watched that for years, and it was just recently I started putting it on in the theater, and I was like, I said to my son, I go, we got to watch all these episodes over again because it's a blast in here.
So it's funny you say that. I've never watched that in my theater. I've watched it downstairs in my family room, which has a 5.1 system, but it's not anywhere near the same as the one that's in my theater. I will go back and watch that episode with everything that you've said in mind because you've actually hit – piqued my interest because I remember that episode very well, and I don't remember being wowed by the loudness of the cars. I remember the sound meter and everything. I was just like, okay, you know.
Yeah, and that's what it made me. I was like, I want to go back and see that one, and that's what I did. I was like, when I discovered how great it was in the theater, I was like, oh, I got to go see this episode. So I put that on and I wasn't exactly blown. It sounded great, but I wasn't blown away. But then I went back to the opening sequence at the, like I said, at 5 minutes and 50 seconds. And you're like, holy cow, because that's the experience you get in a lot of the episodes when they'll have like a Ferrari drive by and be like, rum, rum, or they'll have the camera be on the exhaust and you'll just get that throaty noise.
Yeah.
And in your theater, it just, oh. If you're a car guy and you have a theater, I mean, it's a blast.
Very cool. So that is now what I'm going to do after we get done recording. All right. So my number two, we're going to step it up just a little bit. It's Stranger Things Season 3, Episode 1, and just the opening before they get to the opening credits.
I was wondering if that's what it was going to be.
Yeah. So it starts out, they're in a like cavernous place, and it's the Russians are trying to – I don't want to ruin the storyline in case somebody hasn't seen the movie or the TV series, but they're trying to, best way to look at it is like a mine, and they're drilling into, the stone inside this, cavern, but it's got a very Russian looking kind of, device. It's kind of the way the Russians would do both high tech and basic turn of the century kind of, industrial look. And this thing starts spinning around, and as it spins through the room, you just hear it just go through all the speakers, and it's just spinning over your head. And then all of a sudden, it goes to a crescendo, and there's bass, and things are rattling, and it's just a wall full of sound. And in between that sound, you can hear sparks flying and things happening. So they did a great job of mixing it. You do need to hear it loud so you can hear everything, and it's just – you just think to yourself, this is TV, this is Netflix, this is what I would expect from movies in the, you know, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. But I'm getting that right here in my living room, streamed for free from Netflix.
That scene is very similar to almost like if you played it back to back, the opening to the first Avengers movie.
Yes.
It's, you know what I mean? So like, you know, when Loki shows up at the first Avengers and they have the Tesseract and it's shooting and you almost the same type of sounds. But here's the thing. I will say that Stranger Things scene is actually better because it's more engaging. The bass in it is really, really nice, really good. But you're right. The sound over your head, everything going on in the room. And then I love when they do this in anything, whether it's streaming or a movie, but they'll have a scene like that. And then they go right to a really quiet scene.
Yes.
And it brings your room down and you're like, okay, good. Now I can relax for a bit.
So interesting thing. You talk about how, it was better than the movie. Let's think about, where we've come in the actual creation of audio for movies. When Braden and I were working for Sony, we'd walk into the Cary Grant Theater on the Sony Pictures lot, and the mixer was sitting in the middle of the theater, and he had this huge mixing board in front of him, huge. And in the back, they had these reel-to-reel tapes that they would record on, 22 minutes each, and there would be, I think, two tracks each, but don't quote me on that. There'd be a whole rack of them going across the back of the room. And you would need a projectionist to set those up and do everything. So when they got done with that 22 minutes, the guy would go, usually he'd go smoke a cigarette, and then somebody in the back would thread in the new, the next film for the next, or the next tape for the next, 22 minute sequence. You could do that all digitally. That was one of the things that we worked on, was doing this on hard disks, because then you didn't have to swap those out. You literally, one, you could have a larger group. Instead of doing 22 minutes, you could put an hour, 2 hours on your hard drive. But then You cannot do this in your living room, not to the same level, because you want to hear what it sounds like in the theater so you get the right sound. But technically, you could actually do that in your living room or a much smaller theater. And that's why I believe that the tools have gotten so much better, that you can create this kind of sound with a TV show, that it takes two people to do this instead of a whole theater full of people to do it. And that's why you can get this stuff. So if I was a mixer, it's probably a lot better for me now than it was back, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've never thought of it that way, but it makes me realize, so I remember when THX first came out, the idea of THX sound was it took the theater mix and it brought it to a home theater environment.
Yes.
Now, that's kind of obsolete because they actually remix the movies for the home theater, from what I understand. They'll take out, so what you get in the theater is mixed specifically for the theater. And then when you get your Atmos sound or DTS sound at home, they actually remix it for the home. And what I found interesting about what you were saying is, maybe that's why like a Netflix is so good at what they're doing. They've been doing it so long. Their mixes, they never mixed it for a theater.
Right.
These are mixed for the intimate environment. And I've said many times on this podcast that I find that the movies sound better in my room, because when you're in a theater, you're in a big theater, whether it's filled with people or you're the only one in the theater, you're still in this giant room. It's just not as intimate of setting. Like, for instance, in Rise of Skywalker at the end, when you hear all of the different Jedi talking to Rey around the room, it's nice. You can hear it. But when you're in your theater and your speakers are a lot closer, it's a lot more engaging and it's more definitive.
Yes.
And you go to streaming and somebody like Netflix, like you said, we keep praising the Netflix sound, but you go to Netflix and it's like, that's the only way they mixed it. And that's probably why we find these so engaging.
I never thought of that. And that is true. When you try to do a product for multiple customers, you don't necessarily get the best, unless you say, I'm doing this for this first and everyone else is going to be, secondary. So if they do movies for the theater, that's where you're going to get the best product. And then when you get the disc, it may not be the best product. Whereas, if they try to do a little for both, then both are going to be compromised. But if, you talk about, Amazon Prime, even Apple, all these companies doing things for the home, that's where they're focused on. So you will get a better product in the home than you would say in a movie theater. Now, here's a question. I did not see this movie at Greyhound. You heard that movie Greyhound with Tom Hanks? It's on Apple.
Yes, I did a podcast on it 2 weeks ago.
So I did not watch it, and I really didn't know much about it. Was that made for the theaters, and then they because of all this COVID? Okay, so that would have been one that probably was shot for and mixed for the movie theater. So I'm curious to see what that's going to sound like when I watch that in my house.
Yeah, I like I said, 2 weeks ago, I did a podcast on it. Apple TV actually bought that. They paid $70 million for it. So instead of going to the theater, the studio got their $70 million. I actually had a discussion today on Twitter about it with some listeners of my other podcast, some from this podcast. And it was, right like Midway, that movie, the Roland Emmerich Midway that came out a couple years ago or a year ago. That did like $120 million in the theater. So they were probably banking on that kind of idea, where I think Greyhound's budget was only like about $50 million. So them turning a profit of $20 million just by selling it to Apple, it worked out for them. But Tom Hanks, did you see that? Actually did come out and say, he's like, it's a shame this isn't going to be played on the big screen.
Yeah, he was really he was sad about that. Well, on my room, it's a big screen. It's 100 inches. So
that's what I said. I was like, and that's the idea. I've put that out on, Twitter from this podcast, saying like, we're the only people that are going to be able to experience these things the way they should be. And it is really good. I really enjoyed it. I wouldn't say it's the best sound, but I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Very cool. I liked the movie too.
But what I don't understand is, so it's exclusive on Apple TV. That's yes. what they got $70 million. I'm wondering if they would have just released it to purchase the way some of the other movies did, if they would have made more than that $70 million. You know what I'm saying? Just straight yeah, to like straight to DVD, straight. Yeah, what was that movie I watched? It was one with those two like elves that were. It was a cartoon. It was a Disney cartoon.
Trolls or something?
Trolls was one of them too. But there was another one that Disney had. Regardless, they decided that you could buy it. Oh no, the one I'm talking about was only on Disney Plus, so that wasn't a good one. But you said Midway. No, Midway was actually released. I'm trying to think.
That was released.
There was a movie that early on in March when all these movies were ready to go to the theater, but nobody was going, so they just said, okay, you can buy them. And I bought a few of them because they were a release day and date. And some of them, they said they made as much as they thought they were going to make in that first box office. So I don't know why they didn't allow it for purchase. And they might have made more than $70 million.
Maybe.
Either that or maybe the reviews aren't that good, and so they cut their losses. I don't know.
I don't know either because I have no idea. I want it on disc. I thought it was that good of a movie that, like, you know when you're watching it streaming that you're getting limitations on your picture and sound, like it could be that much better. So I would like to get Greyhound on disc, but who knows where the rights went to Apple TV. Are they going to be able to release that on disc in the future? Who knows?
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, but it won't be for soon because that's one of the things that Apple's trying to get you to buy an Apple TV so you can see a movie like this. And I think they're going to have to do a lot more of that because they don't quite have the content that Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime do. And unfortunately, when they launched this Apple TV Plus, they were probably just starting to ramp up with the content, and then now there's no production going on, so they're going to have to buy stuff that was already available, and there's not that much left.
Have you seen or any of C? Do you have Apple TV Plus?
Yes, I do.
Have you seen C?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Just watch and Steve George, one of my listeners on Twitter, actually talked about this just recently about the opening of to that. Just throw it on and watch the opening in your theater. And it's demo material.
Okay, cool.
And that came out like the day Apple TV was released. This was one of the shows that was, and I think it was made and produced for the sole purpose of attracting people like us. Get the home theater fan. You've got, you know, Jason Momoa. It's a kind of an action story. And the Atmos in that it came out really nice. It's a good picture too. Good picture quality as well. But that's definitely one, even like I said, demo material is the opening to that. So definitely check that out.
I'll go check that out.
Let's see. My next one's a quick one. It's, I just started watching and I'm almost done with it. I've got like two episodes left of, Warrior Nun on Netflix.
Okay.
Have you seen that or have you heard of it?
No, I've not heard of it. I'm looking for stuff to watch. So convince me.
All right. So Warrior Nun is a story about it's based on a comic book. It's nuns that are working for the Catholic Church to fight off demons. And there's a chance that, you know, or the belief is that these demons are coming to Earth to, well, I won't get into the entire story, but the show is really good. It's like I said, the comic book, the guy had an idea that he was thinking about, like the Vatican is as powerful a world power as like the United States.
Ah.
Because think of how they can influence billions of people because it's the biggest religion, right?
Yes.
So he came up with this idea for the comic that they would have an army and it's these army of nuns that would go around and they would protect us from the demons. So the show is on that. Based on that, it's a story based on that, I should say. But the sound and the picture in this it's really good. Just try the first episode, check it out. And it's the atmospheric stuff that I really like. So the opening scene of this show, for instance, is they're in like the catacombs. And it looks like my wife and I were watching it. My wife really likes the show too. And she's like, oh, so the opening scene, they're in this catacomb and you'd think it was an old, like time period, right? Like it's from like hundreds of years ago or something, because they're dressed like a father and a nun, and they're in a catacomb, and the environment in the room, the wind whistling around your room, everything like that. Then all of a sudden on the right side of your room, the priest's iPhone goes off.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And my wife was like, she was disappointed. She was like, oh, she looks to that side of the room and she goes, oh, she goes, I thought it was like a timepiece. Like it was like, and she goes, I didn't know it was modern. But I think they did that on purpose, like to get you into it. So it jumps to modern times. I will say both my wife and I are a little disappointed in the CGI of the demon figure. But the story itself is so well grounded that you're like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And then the demon figure shows up and my wife goes, that's kind of hokey looking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if
you know what? Stuff like that will ruin a movie for me. Yeah. There's that movie with what's his name? Han Solo with the dog. It's out right now. Anyway, we talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah.
And the dog is CGI, and that ruins it for me. It just takes something out of it when you know that the dog is not real. When you can get a trained animal to do stuff, and there's a lot of movies I've seen with actual animals, it just adds something to the movie. But when it's CGI, you're just like, whatever.
Yeah, I heard you say that. You're like, yeah. I'm out. It's a CGI dog. Yeah, I heard you say that. But yeah, this is like a little bit – I don't know if – have you ever watched Lucifer?
Yes, I have, actually.
And when he turns into his devil form, it's more demonish than that. But it's the same idea where you go like, oh, okay, well, you didn't have to go that far with it.
Yeah.
But the demon in the show, in Warrior Nun, is in very limited use throughout the episodes.
Okay.
It may be every other episode you might see one.
Well, but for that, I can probably overlook it then.
Yeah, the show's good enough that you'll forgive it.
Okay, yeah.
But the atmospherics throughout that season, it's like I've watched it in my theater and upstairs in my living room. I actually have a Sonos play bass, and then I have the two set up in the back of the room, and it's just as engaging up there. We've watched episodes up there while eating dinner, and it's like the dogs will look up at the rear channels like, what the heck is that? Birds will be chirping. Yeah. And so it's a pretty engaging series and it's fairly new. I think it just came out like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. All right, so my number one, I only have three. I know you have four, but my number one, this movie was okay. The movie itself was not great, but I watched it all the way through, and if they release another one, I will watch that too. The movie Six Underground, and I'm talking about the opening here. And this is a glorious, maybe, 15 minutes of just put your home theater through its paces. And if you watch it, there's even some humorous things that are going on in this opening. It's all high action, high stakes. And then there's a couple things in it that just make you laugh. And, so I liked it, but, it's a car chase and there's helicopters involved. There's guns, there's explosions, there's things flipping upside down and you can hear it all. And I was constantly looking at different speakers to see which one's active. And there's an Atmos scene and there's a helicopter flying over. That's where the Atmos was live. After I watched it the first time, I rewatched it and went back and put my hand on my Atmos speaker because I have an upfiring Atmos speaker. So it's not as good as if you've got the actual Atmos in the ceiling. And that's one of my drawbacks, complaints about Atmos. If you want to put Atmos in, do it with the actual speakers in your ceiling. You'll get a much better experience than the upfiring ones. But with that said, I wanted to see how much that Atmos speaker was actually being exercised in this movie. And I think there's only about five different times where the thing actually vibrated. And it wasn't for very long. So when you look at like a 20-minute scene that needed some Atmos, you're looking at just a few seconds of actual Atmos experience, whereas the rest of the stuff going on, my surrounds, my rear surrounds, my side surrounds, the right and left speakers, they were constantly doing stuff. So that's why I say Atmos is a little bit overhyped. If you're fretting over, do I get an Atmos version or not? You got to realize, one, not all the movies have Atmos mixes, and two, the movies that do have Atmos mixes, a very small fraction of the time you've got Atmos going on, whereas a 7.1 system is going to do more for you than, say, a 5.1.2. So So if you right. sometimes you're given that option, how do you want to configure your receiver? My preference is do 7.1 versus 5.1.2.
Right. Absolutely. Atmos is something that is nice when you, that's the next level to get to.
Yeah.
You shouldn't jump to it ahead of a bunch of other things.
Agree.
I couldn't agree more. It's like, I was lucky enough that obviously I've been doing it long enough that it was like, okay, I remember ProLogic. So it wasn't even 5.1, yep. you know, it was, everything was matrixed. Yep. So it was like, it was basically a stereo channel that they would put up and it was just made to sound that way. Then when they came out with 5.1, which was called Dolby AC3, and you were like, oh, that was on laser discs. And you're like, this is great. This yeah. is discrete sound. That was the first time we could say the word discrete. And then when you heard about what came from that, Dolby Digital Plus, I think was the 6.1. And then
was EX, Dolby Digital EX.
EX, yep.
Yeah. Right. And then the sixth channel was matrixed between the left and the right surround.
Right.
That channel was actually matrixed. So it wasn't actually discrete.
Exactly. And then you went to the 7.1 and that would gave you stereo sound behind you.
Right.
And then it, so I grew with it, you know, but mm-hmm. the people coming, like you said, you're new to theater and people want to get that Atmos effect. And if you grow too fast with it, you won't be blown away by Atmos. You'll be right. like, is it on? Is that thing on? Yeah. It's like you're clicking on it. You're like,
I spent the money. I want sounds coming out of that speaker.
Right. I think you get the bigger bang for your buck by adding a subwoofer or I actually like rear channels, but those aren't as big of an upgrade as like adding a second subwoofer is if you have a room. I mean,
or even doing room acoustics, you know, you're going to yes. get better sound by doing room acoustics than you are spending the money on having somebody come out and put Atmos speakers in your ceiling or using the upfiring speakers. That will help with echoes and it'll you know, get the, you know, sound, what I mean by echoes, sometimes sound will come off of the wall and then it'll cancel the sound coming from the speaker. So you'll have what we call holes in your, the audio, yep. Spectrum. And by having, acoustical treatments in your room to, so the sounds don't reflect, you just get the sounds coming off the speakers and you can hear a lot better. That's a much better place to spend your money than, just on the Atmos. And as you were saying, if you've done all that, that's the next level. The Atmos is the next level.
Right. And like you said, if you've done all the room acoustics, you've done everything like that, you're actually probably going to get a better experience from your Atmos because
yes.
then now your room it's not a bowl full of bouncing sounds. It's just, you're only hearing what comes from the speakers. And then when you add an extra speaker above you, I can actually hear that. I get those helicopter
yes.
blades going.
Right.
So. I agree with you.
So I was going to say, so the other thing about this scene was kind of really cool is you'd have cars, they'd be drifting or sliding. So they'd start yeah. off on the left side and slide across to the right. And you just kind of hear it go that way. And then, you know, maybe they're coming by a person on the side and the camera goes to the right. And that's where everything is going. And then you'll hear somebody kind of, screaming out of the left speaker. So they did a fantastic job of kind of putting you in that environment with sound. So you got the feel that, oh, there's somebody over here on the left side or somebody on the right side or the car's going right to left or the helicopter's coming from behind and going forward. They get an A+ for that 20 minutes. And that's not the only place in the movie. There's other spots where you get some good action too. But that was what an entrance into the movie.
Exactly. And that's, I had that on my list before you had sent me your list. So I actually, Warrior Nun was the one I added. So we both have three.
Okay.
But yes. So when Six Underground came out, I actually watched that movie and jumped on and put out an impromptu podcast because I was so blown away by that introduction.
Yes.
And that movie.
Good.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds is a riot anyways. I love
his
movies.
Yes, he is. That's what I mean. He's actually quite funny in
yes.
this movie.
Yeah, he is.
And serious at the same time too. It's just, it's a weird mix that I liked.
Yeah. But that opening scene and what I've found, I actually said it, I don't know if it was last week, maybe it was last week. So when I do my reviews on sitting down and watching these movies, in the show notes, I'll put all the scenes and the timestamps so you can jump to it in the movie. And what I've found more recently is that every time I'm saying opening scene.
Yeah.
And then I'll, you know, so I don't have to put a time. I'll just say opening scene. So if you scroll back and look at my shows and you'll see show notes, it'll be like opening scene, opening scene, opening. And I think what's happening, and I said this, like I said, a couple weeks ago, all of these streaming services and the movies as well, they know they're going to end up streaming. And if these opening scenes don't grab you, you just click to something else.
Yes. But this is nothing new because the James Bond movies, all of them were the same way. You always watched what really cool escape he was going to do. And that's how they opened every James Bond movie as well. So, but you're 100% right. If they don't grab you, you're going to watch something else. It's harder to get up and walk out of a movie theater than it is, especially if you paid the money, than it is just to click over to something else.
Exactly. So if you're sitting at home, and especially the like home theater fans, you're sitting at home and you've got access to all of this content. And if it hasn't grabbed you in the first couple of minutes, you're gone.
Yeah,
and exactly. Like Six Underground is the perfect example of they grabbed you for 20 minutes. And at that point, you're like, well, I got to finish this now. Yeah. That was a blast.
Exactly right.
So the last one I have is this is the granddaddy of them all. It's not as it doesn't blow you away like Six Underground or even like your Stranger Things episode. But I think I call this the granddaddy because this is what, to me, paved the way for streaming services. And that's Daredevil Season 1. Okay. So Episode 5. Have you seen Daredevil Season 1?
You know what? I got through like 3 episodes and I just quit watching it. It was at the time for me just too dark. And I just like, okay, I'm not getting that much enjoyment out of it. So I'll have to go back and watch Season 5 or Episode 5.
Yeah. So one of the scenes I'm going to talk about you have seen, and you'll know that one. But Episode 5, it's called World on Fire. Even when you scroll to it, there's a picture of a taxi, and that's what happens here. So it's at the 13 minute and 43 seconds. It's almost 3 minutes long, this scene. But what happens is a taxi pulls up, and there's a Asian character in the back. You never know who he is at this point. I believe he's blind as well. And he's sitting in the back of the taxi and he starts singing in like Mandarin or something. I don't know the language he's singing in, but he's singing. And it's one of those scenes where the camera is like on a pivot in the middle of the taxi. And as the camera pans around the taxi, looking out all the windows, his voice goes around the room.
Oh, very cool.
And then goes back. So it starts out going clockwise or counterclockwise. And then it goes back and it goes clockwise. And it's just a great scene. This is a demo scene that if you bring somebody into your theater, you'd be like, listen to this. And you'd be like, you'll hear actual voices going around the room because there's characters talking to the two guys in the taxi get out and the door slams on one side and the guy on the right side is talking to the guy on the left side. Really great use of each channel going around the room. This is only in 5.1. This was back in 2015. And like I said, it's not huge dynamic, you know, sound by any stretch. It's just that voice. The other thing is if you have well-matched speakers, this will show that off. If you have all different speakers around the room, you'll hear the difference because as it goes to each speaker, the guy's voice will change.
Yeah.
But it still pans well. It's just that one there is a lot of fun, real simple, and it's a great example. And I remember watching this thinking back in 2015, I've said this many times, I'm like, I was so disappointed because I knew 90% of the population is watching this on a laptop.
Yeah, that's so funny you say that. I look at the same thing and it depends on who's watching too. Like my kids, they don't get as excited about it as I do, and I don't know if your kids do, but or maybe even your wife, because my wife is like, I don't care. But I love it. And you know, I always say, I spend a lot of money for these speakers. I want to hear noise coming out of them.
Yeah. My wife and kids, and we've said this, I actually had this discussion with a listener once. We're all considered home theater snobs.
Okay.
Because they get used to this, and this is how my kids were brought up. My wife has been with me since my first theater when I was living in my parents' home, so she knows it all.
Yeah.
And understands it and appreciates it. She doesn't care about it as much as I
okay,
do.
Yeah.
But when we go elsewhere and we'll go to somebody's house and we'll leave and they'll be like, that TV didn't look very good.
I'm
like,
that's yep. when it comes out. Okay, very cool.
Right. But they've all been trained. I say all. My wife knows. But my kids, we would always be like, you do not say anything. They think that looks good. That's what they know. They, you know, it's like, so the ride home from places, the kids would be like, why was everything so bright? Why did it, like, or yeah. the soap opera effect. Dad, that really bothers me. And I'm talking to like a 7 and a 9 year old at the time.
You know, so,
we've all become home theater snobs.
Yeah, it was funny when HDTV first came out, Braden and I would go to our friends' houses and whatever, and they'd be bragging about how great their TV looks. And I'd say to my wife, it's not even in HD. They didn't realize that you had to go right. to an HD channel. You know, if you were just watching on your cable system, if you didn't get your box upgraded, or two, you're watching on just the old, what was channel 2, let's say. Like my mom, I had to tell her, you got to go to 8002. Early on, the cable boxes had a separate channel. Now you just go to the channel and it's automatically HD. But, once you kind of, show them what HD is like, they're like, oh man, how did I even think that? But it gets to the point, what you're saying is the fact that your family's used to it. And then when they go someplace where it's not there, then they realize what they have.
Exactly. I'm sure you experienced this. You go over somebody's house and they're showing you their HDTV when yeah. it was first coming out, and it's a standard def stretched.
Yeah. Yep. That's happened.
And all you can do is go, yeah, that's nice.
Because I got to the point
getting in.
It depends on who they were. If it was like a family member, I'd change it.
Yes.
If it was somebody I was probably never going to be there again, I just, okay. Yeah, that is great, because it's like, why? You know, bother getting into that kind of discussion.
Exactly. It's usually at the holidays. You get dragged to a house like my wife's friends, and they find out I have a theater, and they're like, check out my new, yeah. I got a new TV. Check this out. And you're like, yeah. That's great. Nice. It's stretched. You're like, how does that look normal to anybody?
Yep,
but they think 100%. That's HDTV. So the next scene, and you'll know this one. This was episode 2 called Cut Man. It's at 45 minutes, 43 seconds. It's the end of the episode, and it's the first, I think this is the first scene where they went the full on one shot mm-hmm. deal. Okay. So all the Daredevil seasons, they each have a scene where it's like a really long one shot deal, and the camera just stays and it goes back and forth. And this is the one in the hallway. At the end of the scene where he battles the guys in the hallway. Do you remember that one?
No, like you said, it was 2015. It was a long time ago. Just, when you said cut man, did he box or something? I think
yeah,
I vaguely
dad
remember
was a boxer.
That. Okay, that's,
yep.
okay, yeah.
Yep. So they end up the episode where he has to go rescue a boy. The boy's being held captive by all of these guys, and they come into this scene and they walk down the hall and the camera pans into each room. It's a closed door, but they'll have a character go in so you can see in, and there'll be like 5 guys in one room on the left. Then you go down a little bit further in the hallway and there's another room on the right, and there's like 4 guys in there playing cards. And it's a really quiet scene, but the camera just keeps recording. It goes down, it spins around, then you see Daredevil, and then the fight ensues, but the camera keeps rolling the entire time. Having since seen 1917, have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
The whole movie was supposed to be like one long take, mm-hmm. and they do an unbelievable job at making it feel that way. And I can't remember who the director was. I can't remember the director off the top of my head right now, but he goes through in the extras during the commentary and he tells you where the cut scenes are. And it's like, they're so creative at doing it. You'd never know there was one there. So now going back and watching this scene again, I'm like, maybe there's a cut there or something, because it's they could do a blend there or something. But this scene, the sound, because he's fighting guys coming out of a room on the left, guys coming out of the room on the right. So that side of your room, you can hear the guys in the room, and then they come out and the fights happen. It's just a really good back and forth, great pans in the front of your room. All the while, like, you'll hear a guy come running down the hall from the behind you to join the fight. And it's like, you'll just hear a little pitter patter. Then they join the fight. It's just, this is, like I said, from 2015. That's why I call this the granddaddy, because this is, to me, it was what kind of paved the way for Six Underground and,
yeah,
you know, Stranger Things, all the things we have today, that they're using this format for us, because the only people that are going to enjoy this stuff,
yes,
are home theater fans, right? You know, most people watching it on a computer never even know this exists.
Correct.
And I love that they're doing that for us, and they're actually creating content that a small percentage of the people will enjoy, but they're still doing it.
You know, and that's a really good point, because it is a small percentage of people. A lot of people are watching on soundbars, yep, or even on the TV's speakers. They're not watching with a full-blown setup. And so, yeah, you're right. Thank you for doing that, because it does make a big difference for those of us who enjoy it. And I'll have to go back and take a look at those things. But when you were talking about that being the granddaddy, I remember watching episodes of X-Files. And that, yeah, was in Dolby Pro Logic. So it would say Dolby Surround when it says in Dolby Surround when the show would come up. And I remember there was this one scene where a dog was barking, and they had it panned so that it would be in the back speaker. I got so excited. I told my wife, did you hear that? Did you hear that? That's why we have this. And she's just like rolling her eyes at me. But it literally, we've come from there to this. And now a lot of this stuff is when you watch sporting events, although you're not going to see that this year, when they, oh no, they are mixing sound is they're mixing an audience now. When you hear the crowd, it's coming out of your surround speakers. It's really cool. And sometimes they would have games mic'd where, somebody would be screaming. One guy, you could hear one guy screaming out of one speaker, and he wouldn't shut up during the whole game.
Yeah.
And it's just because, I don't know why, but they had a microphone right over this guy's head, it must have been. And it's
right,
just so funny. But I actually kind of started enjoying that, because it kind of puts you in the game.
Yeah. I'll have guys over for football games or hockey games during the season, and we'll watch whatever, whatever game is on, right? And I have three seats in for the width of my room, and then two seats in the front. And anybody sitting on either side, I usually sit in the middle, they'll be like, this, the, that side speaker isn't far away from them. It's all over, yeah, right on their side, right? They'll always be like, this guy next to me won't shut up.
Yeah.
Cause you'll have that one guy, and yep, be like, I hear him. Not like you do, I'm sure. But yeah, it's like, it's that real world environment that even in, you know, even in a, you know, broadcast television, it just, it's that much more enveloping for fans like us, and it's great.
Yeah. So I'm excited about where TV has come from and where it is now and where it's going to go. I am a firm believer that in a few years, the cinema is just not going to be as big a thing. You will have special cinemas for those blockbuster movies. So you, instead of having like a 20 theater megaplex, you may have four theaters, and you may not have as many of them. It'll be more like the theaters that have the seating with the food and that kind of thing, because I think you're just going to get direct to home streaming. It'll be released in the theater and at home at the same time, and you'll get to choose where you want to go see it. I think this COVID situation has sped this up a little bit. I know a lot of movie theaters may not be able to come back just because of the finances. And then the point becomes moot. If there's not as many theaters, then it gives the studios the ability to go straight to the consumer. And I think that's where we're going to end up.
Yeah. I remember hearing you talk even before COVID that you didn't go to theaters. So there is a segment of people of the population that don't go anymore.
And right.
Why? Because as we said tonight, that our theaters are better anyways.
Yeah. And I can wait until it's available, because inevitably, right, I'm going to sit in front of or behind somebody who's going to just yak the whole movie. And I don't want to be that guy that says, can you be quiet? Because, you know, nowadays people get all bent out of shape. So then I just don't enjoy it. And so for me, rather than being that guy, I just don't go. And that's kind of what's happening. And I think a lot of people are doing that. And as you said, we have a better sounding theater than the majority of the theaters, not the ones in Hollywood or the premier theaters. Those are calibrated properly and usually kept
right,
in good shape. But if you go to a megaplex, probably only two or three theaters are really their top theaters, and the other ones are smaller and not as good as what you have at home.
Exactly. I liked your idea. I mean, I feel bad for the theater owners. I feel bad for the people that work in theaters right now. But I think you're right. There is a change coming. And I like your idea that the theaters will get smaller, because that would then create a demand. Because if you have less seats, then it you can actually maybe charge a little more, and you're creating a demand for the people that really want to go to the theater.
Right.
I remember when they were building Gillette Stadium here for the Patriots. Ooh, everybody hates the Patriots. but when they were building it, they're like, do you want to, you know, Bob Kraft was like, yeah, I could build a 100,000 seat stadium, but we're not always going to be that good.
Right.
So you want to create a demand as well. So it's like, how do you create a demand if you never sell out? So there's a happy medium there. And I think that's what we're going to see, like a culling of these theaters. And that, you're right, maybe they'll go to, instead of, 24 or 14 Cineplex, you'll go down to a 4 to 5 Cineplex, and it'll only be the big blockbusters. And maybe those are the ones that don't come out day and date on streaming, you know, and the only, you know, there'll be a 3-week hold, and then you get, you know, in different ways to create a demand, but you're right. Streaming is definitely the way. It's taking over, I think.
Yeah, and I'm happy for it. As you said, we don't want anyone to lose their jobs or anything, but I always go back to, I've said this before, I had a friend who had a Chevy Vega back in the 70s. That's when I got my license. He had a Chevy Vega. He bought it used. And when you opened the door, it would say Body by Fisher. And their logo was a carriage, like a horse and carriage thing.
Yep.
And the best, I think I did a little research on it, so I could be wrong, but I think they were a company that made carriages for horse and carriages. And then they said, well, we're going to have to adapt. So they started making bodies for cars. They adapted and some form they survived. Other people, if they didn't adapt, they went out of business. Cinemas need to adapt, and maybe they have live shows in there, concerts. They find a way to use the space. They have the space. They could maybe do comedy shows. I don't know. I'm just thinking there's something they could probably do if they have like a 20 screen Cineplex. Maybe they have like 4 big screens for the blockbusters, and the other ones become something else. I don't know what else, but they can figure something out.
What if they start playing streaming stuff?
Yeah. Maybe so. Maybe
you get
so.
To go in and see 2 episodes of Stranger Things season 4 in a theater.
Well, or AMC Theaters is big enough. Maybe they come up with some compelling content that can only be seen in their theaters.
Ooh.
And they don't sell it for a lot of money, but maybe you go spend $3 or $4 to go see it, and they make their money on the concessions.
Yeah. Look at that. We're solving world problems tonight.
Exactly. I don't know that AMC is going to do it, but big chains might be able to do it. Do they have Edwards Cinemas out by you, or are they actually AMC?
No.
We had AMC a chain out here called Edwards, and I know they got bought up, but it was a West Coast thing. What about Regal Cinemas? Do they have Regal Cinemas?
We have that.
I think maybe Regal bought Edwards. It doesn't really matter. But a lot of these smaller chains got bought out, and so now you've got these cinema chains that are across the whole country. When I was a kid, a lot of theaters were just one screen. And that was it.
Yep, same here.
You'd go there and you'd watch your movie. And then I remember how excited we were that in the mall they had a 4-screen cinema, and you got to see 4 movies. And then it just, you know, got to be something ridiculous.
Yeah, we had one screen cinema in my town when I was growing up. And you were so excited when they changed the movie, because the movie would be there for like 3 to 4 weeks. And you're like, well, I've already seen that.
Yeah.
And then that cinema changed to a 3-screen cinema. So they basically, they took 2 smaller screens, well, 3 smaller screens, but the middle screen, the middle room had the little bit bigger of a screen. That was the premium one. I think the 2 on either side were like the size of the screen I have now. And it was, you know, but they were trying to catch up, and that was in the 80s. They were trying to turn a single cinema building into a multi-cinema building. It didn't really work, but.
Yeah. So I just looked it up. Edwards was bought by Regal. So, or they merged or whatever. But I just found out here in 2016, Regal had 7,307 screens in 564 theaters. And so that's a lot of screens. That's a lot of stuff that is being empty right now. I just don't know how they survive.
Yeah.
Because even when we start going back out into the world on a more regular basis, you don't have content, right? Production has been shut down. So what are you going to put into the content? And then people, even as we start venturing back out into the world, some people are going to be a little bit more skeptical about being in these tight areas with a bunch of people. So I don't know how they bounce back. I don't want to be doom and gloom. But their loss is our gain as home theater owners. We're going to have some great content to watch here in the coming months.
Yeah. It's our gain, but it's also the streaming service provider's gain as well. Then we're going to start to hopefully – I hate to say hopefully because I really do feel bad for these theater employees and theaters. But we get more like instances like Greyhound. And I know they're holding on as tight as they can to Wonder Woman 84 and Black Widow, because those are going to be the tent poles that if we do come out of this, those are the type of movies that can help pull theaters out of the situation they're in right now. How long does this go before they go, look, we got to release this stuff? Because you know what? Like, especially with the MCU, Black Widow's on hold. That means everything, because it's all spoiler related, everything after it is delayed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like their entire lineup is delayed because you can't just all of a sudden release the next movie. So it's an amazing trickle down effect that at some point they're going to have to just say, like, look, we just, we got to do something here. So.
Yeah. So hopefully that'll come to an end soon, and we'll get those movies released. My daughters also are interested in, I guess, Mulan, which is the live version of Mulan. That was to have been released, but they held back on it. It did not come to Disney Plus, and you wonder at what point where I've spent the money, I want to start recouping some of this money, and they just go ahead and release it, but. And I know Disney needs to have content because their subscriber base kind of comes and goes as they have content. Like they recently released Hamilton early, and there is no free trial anymore. So if you want to watch it, you have to pay at least for 1 month. At least you're going to get that. And then if they can keep coming out with stuff on a monthly basis, they'll keep you to instead of canceling. But I don't know if that they even have that much content in the pipes.
Exactly. Oh, and the funny thing is, I think they do have some of it, but like I said, in MCU related, they can't release it because it's all based on each other. So if we release one, there's some stuff in Black Widow that's going to lead to the next one, whatever.
Yeah.
My daughter saw Hamilton in my theater. She loved it. I happened to catch Hamilton in Boston, the live play. Not really a fan. My wife wanted to go. I'm not a big fan for musicals and stuff. Yeah. It was very creative. I love the art part of it. But I was actually thinking of watching it for this podcast because it's a streaming thing and I thought it would be cool. I didn't get the opportunity to watch it. But from what I've heard, it's a very good mix.
Yeah. That's a good point. My family, we went out to New York and watched it on Broadway, but I'd say 3/4 of the original cast had already left. So only about 25% of them were left. And I was wanting to see it with the original because that's what this was. I kind of was excited about it a long time ago. And I actually listened to the soundtrack before I went to the movie because they talk so fast, I couldn't hear it, the rapping. And so after I heard it a few times, I understood what they were saying. So when I watched it, I was able to focus on what was going on without trying to hear what was being said. And so I kind of got burnt out on it. And I'm still kind of burnt out on it. So I may, just like you said, do it as a technical point of view, just to watch it and hear what the mix was like and check it out. But, knowing me, I'll start watching it and then I'll just get sucked into it and watch the whole thing.
Yeah. That's usually what happens. Yeah. And like, whether you like the content or not, I mean, we've all watched movies that you're like, this isn't very good. I had a conversation like this about Aquaman, one of my listeners, Steve, as a matter of fact. He's like, I hate this movie, but I have to show it to my friends in the best possible format. It's like, and it's like, but there's a lot of movies like that, a lot of content that you're like, eh, it's not my favorite, but what a mix. Check this out. So. You got anything else?
No. I'm looking at about an hour and a half. That was easy. Easy time. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah. If you ever want to do this again, let me know.
Definitely. I'd like to have Braden on. I'd like to have both of you guys on. And maybe one a month or so. Do this once a month. Sit down with different people. And if you ever have an idea and you want to come on. Just reach out, say it in your podcast, and I'll reply right to you. Be like, hey, we got to talk about this with DJ.
Okay, very cool.
Because that's what I want to create. That's the environment I want. I love doing that. I mean, we talked woodworking.
Yeah,
so,
we're
sitting down in the theater, just chatting. It's been great. That's what I wanted. And I mean, you've been awesome. You've been so accommodating from the beginning.
Oh, great. I enjoyed it.
Why don't you, shout out your stuff again?
So you can find us, the HT guys. At first it was for home theater, but now we've kind of morphed that into home technology. We talk about home theater, audio, even TV shows, what to watch, ratings of TV shows. We talk about home automation, TVs, of course, HDTVs, and music. We even talk about music. So anything home tech, home audio, home theater related. You can find us at htguys.com or just search HDTV podcast on your favorite podcast aggregator and we're probably there.
Yep. I listen to you every week.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't miss it. I said this to the AV Rent guys too. I listen to you guys like twice a week.
Oh.
Because I'll listen to your podcast and like whether I'm working or I'm doing something, I'll miss, there's a lot of technical stuff that you guys go over and I'll miss something. And then when I watch, and I just like hearing you guys talk about home theater and all the tech stuff, and I'll listen to it a second time and most of it I'll know, but then I'll be like, oh, I missed that the first time. Oh, that's a pretty good one and stuff. So I just enjoy it. I can't stress enough how good you guys are and all the technical knowledge you have and your Academy Award winners. So you might not want to tout it. I'm going to tout I had an Academy Award winner on my podcast.
Well, that's
so
nice.
We're going to go with that. but anybody who wants to get in contact with me, you can tweet at me at BrightsideHT. You can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And we are proud members of the Nerdy Legion. Bunch of great podcasts there. Check those out. And if you could, please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. Could use a few more 5-star reviews. Get my, cause I don't have a marketing budget. So it's word of mouth, people.
that's exactly how you do it.
All right. That's it for this week. Ara, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And hey, everybody, have a great weekend and go push play. Hey, Fred. This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.